Because you're not going to be laid back. We both.
Fuck you, Shannon!
I can't believe the news today. Oh, I can't close my eyes and make it go away. How long must we sing this song? How long?
From the heart of Broadway at the only gaming store that matters. It's Podzilla 1985, Sunday, bloody Sunday today, because we're going to be bashing some rats, if you know what I mean. Jesse Kimball, I see you staring at me down from the way. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. I need to wake up. I just woke up from a nap like an hour ago.
We got plenty of Surge over there.
Ooh, I do want a Surge.
Surge is tasty. Lindsay, how are you? Lindsay Wolfgang with us tonight?
I'm here.
It's about the best we can hope for. The We're all here in one way or the other. And the star of the show... The belle of the ball, the princess, also known as the Southern Dandy, Big John.
How many other nicknames are you going to come up with for me?
The more nicknames, the better.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. Look at Dalton.
Yeah, he's
Mankey,
got so many.
Rooster Boy, Hipster Fuck.
Let's see, I was Dusty Rhodes, only more, what was it, Hillbilly?
The Hillbilly Dusty Rhodes.
I believe Jesse said that about you, not
that's,
me.
That's
Hillbilly
not accurate.
That was... No, I call Tanner Hillbilly.
Oh, no, you definitely called Big Johnny the Hillbilly Dusty Rhodes.
I've been calling a lot of people Hillbilly lately, is that it?
Yeah.
I can't deny the Hillbilly thing.
That's all right.
I was raised.
I grew up in Southern Illinois. I just heard from an ex-girlfriend a couple of days ago that I've lost my accent, so apparently at some point I sounded like Dusty Rhodes. And sometimes I still do. He's got a bifickle. Lindsay is enjoying the new, I think she's playing
Animal Crossing,
right?
Yes.
Now, give us a quick review for Animal Crossing before we start the show.
Well, the new one's kind of cool. You just design rooms for the various residents in the town, but I haven't really found much of a challenge in it yet, because as long as you pick the furniture that goes with the theme that they want... they're happy.
There's literally no challenge or goal to this game.
Yeah, you're literally just designing rooms.
So this is perfect for today's gamer.
Yeah, like, exactly. Krista was talking about, like, she was really, really enjoying it at first, but then when she realized that there was no goal, nothing, there's only a couple of things to unlock, and you just do that by making rooms for people. There's really no way to screw up the rooms as long as you use the stuff they want you to use.
Yeah, but it's a creativity game. It's an imagination game, like Nightcrawlers.
I mean, yeah, it's... Wait a minute. So it sounds like you guys are just laying on the floor at night and crawling around.
Well, then, I never said that's what it was. That's what it is. Intervention! Hunter, get to watching.
Seriously.
Stop listening to this. Go watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. No one should be listening to this right now.
Easy.
But.
But!
Wait, all six of you, come back!
But what a show we've got for you tonight, because tonight... we're proud to announce the emancipation of Big Johnny. Free.
That's right.
From the binds that, the ties that bind. Fuck!
You'll get it eventually.
So yeah. That means I'm actually able to talk about things now.
John, where did you work at the past few months we couldn't name?
Oh, God.
Can we say the name
should
finally?
We name drop?
Oh, we can absolutely name drop. It's
can
done.
We absolutely Johnny. Name drop?
Ladies and gentlemen, I, Big Johnny, for the last 5 years, have worked at GameStop.
Oh, there's the name. There's the Red Devils.
Yep.
And in case you guys don't know, every single person at this table right now worked at GameStop.
Yep.
That's where most of us met, actually.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that's where, other than me and Lindsay, that's where all of us met.
For sure, yep. Yeah.
Yeah. And GameStop fired me. We'll talk about that on the show.
For some of the dumbest shit ever.
I think I'm the only person at this table to be fired by them.
Yeah, my store got closed, and I had a really shitty option.
That's true. Yeah, her whole fucking store closed.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was like, you can work opposite shifts of Shannon at the other store, so you guys never see each other, or you can drive down the road like 20, 30 minutes and not be guaranteed hours.
Yeah, you can work with James, like Hunter did. Ask him how it goes.
Yeah.
I like James, to be fair.
I have nothing against James.
Yeah. He's a good guy. Remember Brock?
I do remember Brock.
Like Brock.
Also a good guy.
Now, John, before we get into bashing, because let me explain to the folks at home. Everyone here has a grudge against GameStop. Let's just be honest. Every single person here has a dislike for them. Some a little bit more personal than others. Me, obviously. I wrote a article on Blogzilla 1985. It's the most popular article. Last time I checked, 45,000 people had read it. Thanks to Reddit.
Did you, I start to say, did you just say Reddit?
Yeah. That's an AC reward!
Yeah. Because, Louis, without your permission, posted it to Reddit.
No, actually, I asked him to.
Oh, you did?
Jokingly. Okay. Jokingly, I said, Louis, you should post this on Reddit because Lonnie should post that to Reddit. And I said, yeah, hey, Louis, post it to Reddit. And he did. And it worked.
It did.
40 plus thousand people. It was so popular. It was so controversial that I quit writing for Blogzilla. That's what killed Blogzilla for me, was too much attention. So we kind of kept it in ever since then. The reason I wrote that article originally was because Big Johnny got let go because his store closed. Mm-hmm. Then Big Johnny got rehired after they fired that jackass Jeremy, who, if you know, again, this is a local story. So the guys in France and England right now are going, you know, what the fuck is he talking about? That's my French.
And we no longer have French listeners. Good job.
Yeah. But let's just say there was a guy who worked at the other GameStop in question named Jeremy, who was a complete asshole, who mistreated his employees and customers, and they loved him, finally got rid of him. Rightfully so, put Big Johnny back in his spot. And Big Johnny, you have been an indentured servant and a miserable slave for the past however many months.
Yeah, been miserable. Should have never went back.
Yeah.
So did we ever figure out why Jeremy was fired?
No, he was not fired. He quit.
And what a fucking shame that a piece of garbage like that, who could treat people like that and stab people in the back, would be allowed to quit.
Because I still remember the time that somebody came running over to our store. It was a legitimately mentally handicapped individual. Came to our store in tears. Like, this is when me and Shannon still worked there at 261. Person came in tears because Jeremy just called them a retard because of their preference in games.
I remember stories about Big Johnny where Jeremy would make fun of him in front of customers.
Mm-hmm. I would be made fun of. While I was dealing with a customer, he would stand behind me and make fun of the way I talk.
Which, yes, we've also made fun of the way you talk, but in a fun way.
In a fun way.
In a loving, because John, you're my brother
he
way.
He wasn't in a fun way. He was doing it as you're a fucking idiot type way.
And GameStop is the kind of company that will let people get away with that, because they don't fire you for that, but you talk about J-Mac.
Oh, goddamn.
Let me explain to you. There's a lot of people out there that don't know why I don't work at GameStop anymore. Literally had a customer come in to Gaming Grounds last week, and I posted this on my Facebook. Came in and said, we just drove by and wanted to stop in and say, we saw you and wanted to stop and say hi to the old GameStop guy. People still know me from GameStop. So why am I not at GameStop anymore? Because if you don't know, every morning when you get to GameStop, and you guys let me know if this is still true, because I haven't been there in a couple years in the morning, they play a video on the GameStop TV telling you how to sell more stuff, how to get more reserves, how to get more subscriptions, because that's all they care about. They could give a shit less about you as a customer. They just want your money. And I got sick of it. I got so sick of hearing J-Mac, who was the voice on there, was the person. I don't remember her name. What was her actual name?
Jennifer McMillan.
Yeah. Yeah. And she, unbeknownst to me, she wasn't just a TV person. She was actually pretty high in the company.
She was head of the Power Rewards division.
Because that's actually what she did on the show. Like, importantly, she wasn't just part of the, like, just telling you guys, hey, guys, you need to get more stuff. No, the way J-Mac did her thing was in bits. Because every time they would have, like, you know, stuff you could get, like, stuff you could win on Power Rewards, especially, like, the big stuff, she would come out in costume.
Yeah.
She would come out doing these little, like...
Skits. Yeah.
Where she's trying to teach you what all is available in Power Up and, you know, how you can get more Power Up stuff. And it was just, it was honestly, it was kind of insulting.
Yes, exactly. Best way I could have, I wanted to think of that word, yeah.
And she just was really, really fucking annoying.
And this was every day. Every
morning you opened.
Yeah, if you're like me, Jesse, or John, working full time there, 5 days a week you saw this.
Hey, who likes Imagine Dragons?
I loved that. I love before Imagine Dragons. Oh my god. Well, Shannon, you got out before that. Like
I did. I never got to see the Imagine. I just saw the J-Mac stuff, which is how I got in trouble because, full disclosure, and I don't like to admit this because it was pretty stupid. I posted on my Facebook, my personal Facebook, which is set to private, by the way. So, how this got back to corporate, we'll never know. Wink. I said that J-Mac, I don't advocate violence against women. Because this is my kind of humor. I don't advocate violence against women, but J-Mac needs to be raped and murdered. That is what I said on my Facebook as an extreme joke. And if you've listened to this show for the past 115 episodes, you know that's my style of humor. But it's just a joke. My first write-up, my first time getting in trouble, and I got fired for it. I shook their hands graciously, thanked them for my time, left, and found another job as soon as I could. That was how Shannon Young died at GameStop. But no, I did not hear Imagine Dragons.
Yep.
Or Bob's Burgers.
Although, I don't know anything about Bob's Burgers there, but like basically Defiance, when that game was coming out.
Yeah.
That was the song.
Okay.
Radioactive.
Oh, Johnny.
I have to tell the Batman story.
Oh, man.
I don't know anything about the Batman story, but Jesse looks concerned already.
Well, no, that was really, really fun. Like, for me, anyway, because I took vacation, so I missed the brunt of this. So, Big Johnny, fill him in.
Okay, so anyway, the GameStop TV is not an actual TV per se. It is a media player PC. The PC had went out on us, and we had ordered a new one, and it said, you know, wait for technician to come to install. But Jesse says, oh, the hell with it. I can put the new one in. So he gets up there and he puts the new one in, not knowing that the person that was to change it out had to call in these activation codes in order to do this. Well, when we hook the PC up, it kills all of the videos except for the trailer for Batman Arkham Knight.
Arkham Origins.
Oh, yes, it was Origins. Yeah, Origins. Yes, it was Arkham Origins. So Jesse's like, okay, I'm going on vacation starting tomorrow. He goes on vacation, and it takes a week for these people to get this fixed and the new downloads to download to the computer so we would have new trailers. But we literally watched the same trailer over and over again for a week. Thank you, Jesse.
I got text messages from every one of them. Like, you goddamn bastard. And it was just really funny because, yeah, like, when I did that the first time, me and Big Johnny thought everything was great because the trailer started going, all the commercials were going. It wasn't just Batman when I first set it up.
But we didn't know they expired.
Yep. And because it downloads each month. It downloads that month's videos. At the beginning of the month, it downloads the next month's video, so it'll
very
be ready.
Very slowly.
Very slowly, because I guess the internet connection is ball shit retarded there.
Balls shit retarded. Holy shit.
That's the best way I could put it. John, do you disagree?
No, you're exactly correct.
So, yeah, because it literally has to download 10 gigabytes, and it takes it a month to download 10 gigabytes worth of data. So yeah.
They start running on Windows 95?
No, they have Vista. I saw it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's 7.
They're still running on AOL.
But to cap off that story, what was horrible was when the technician got there, I had to lie to him. I'm like, I don't know how this got up there.
Because, I mean, everything was put up right. Like, it wasn't like it was rocket science. I mean, I was able to do it. It's just didn't know I had to call in.
I was like, no, a technician came last week and he put it in. We just need the codes to update it. There was a guy here. Well, I don't have a thing on here saying a guy was here. There was a guy here. He put it in.
Some guy showed up.
He didn't do the right thing, apparently, when he was here.
What do you think? We busted the lock on that thing and did it ourselves?
So crazy. So we're not morons here.
Morans.
Morans. News foxes. See, I miss the old days of GameStop whenever we would just plug in our CD players.
Oh, that was awesome.
We'd just play our own music.
They gave us, they would send us the, before this was GameStop TV, they would send us these VHS tapes. At EB, or DVDs, or no, there was VHS tapes went to GameStop, and DVDs went to EB, and they would play on the big TV up there, but we would route the sound through our MP3 players right. And just listen to music.
Yeah, and that kind of came back to bite me once, because I put it on Green Day, I had the Green Day album playing, and I left for lunch, and I think Justin Mann was working, and when I came back, Justin Mann was very upset because of the part in the songs where he's just saying the F word over and over again because it was as loud as possible. I think the worst possible one, though, speaking of that, is when I worked at EB, and we had the, you had the overhead speakers and whatnot. Yeah. And we had just opened, and I was listening to Motion City Soundtrack. So this guy comes in with his kid, and it's like a
fucked up and yeah. die.
So it's like 4-year-old kid and this man, and I've got the music playing up loud, and it's on random. And the next song, the first thing he says is "Let's get fucked up and die." And I immediately look up at the guy. He looks back at me like this, and I go, "I am so sorry." It was I like the song. No trouble there. Yeah.
Hey, you remember the time that Kevin was doing that and had?
Oh God, Kevin. God, I miss you, Kevin.
I also miss Kevin. Shit, I can't think of the name of the song. It was "Fuck You, I Don't Do What You Told Me." Fuck you.
Oh, Rage Against Machine. Rage Against Machine.
Yeah. What's the name of the song though?
Killing in the Name.
That's it. No, it's is
it? Yeah. No, that's under. It's like Under Control. Now You Do What They Told You.
No, it's "Fuck You, I Won't Do What You Told Me." Fuck
yeah,
God,
but
won't
it's
there's no. that there's that or there's the only two I know it could be is Killing in the Name. What's the other one? Bulls on Parade.
It's like Under Control or something like that. I don't remember the exact
I'm going to put a $5 bet on this. And if you guys know the answer, please email us at podzilla1985 at hotmail.com.
It is Killing in the Name of.
Shit, never mind. Jesse looked it up.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason I know that is because I put that song on repeat sometimes and scream. You look disappointed in yourself,
Jimmy. I am disappointed in myself. Next topic.
Well, there's only one topic.
Yeah, it's all about games.
And it ain't Hot Topic. Whoa!
I would like to throw out something.
Go for it.
I'm sorry.
This is your show.
Jesse, you've covered this. Ladies and gentlemen, stop pre-ordering games.
Please stop pre-ordering games.
Please stop pre-ordering games.
I say it every show I can. If anything even remotely similar comes up.
Please stop.
And GameStop is the worst about pre-orders.
Okay, let me tell you about this now.
All right.
Because one of their new things is, it doesn't matter as long as you take care of the customer.
That is a new thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't worry about pre-orders. Don't worry about power-up. But you're sure going to get your ass chewed if you're below on your pre-orders.
Is your store still ranked on pre-orders?
No. The ranking system is dead.
Oh, really?
Well, yes.
Ooh. Because I'm proud to say, and Jesse can back me up on this, that we turned 261. Originally, we turned it around from a bottom-tier store to a top-five.
Yeah,
the first year we got there. And Big Johnny carried on the legacy until they shut it down.
Nah, I ran that shitter into the ground. kidding.
That's the legacy store.
Where 261 was located, I don't know if you want to drop that name or not, but where 261 was located, it's dying.
I'll name it. West Park Mall.
West Park Mall, yeah. I've
West
got
Park
no loyalty to
dying.
Them.
No. Okay.
No, yeah. Actually, I was talking to Matt. Apparently, they're purposefully trying to force people out because if they drop to a certain percentage of stores like that are open or vacant, they can apply for a grant from the state to remodel the mall.
So that's awful management.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. That mall
is awful.
I mean,
it was bad to begin with, but.
I mean, at least before, when I first started at GameStop, actually, I started at EB, obviously, the mall was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I thought I'd hang out there more. I didn't, but it was still nice. But yeah, every time I go in there, it's like a goddamn third world country.
It went to shit.
It's a ghost town.
When they took the fountain out, it went down from there.
And they lost the arcade. Now they have that shitty they don't have Tilt anymore. They've got that shitty little whatever it is.
Yeah, they've got like an arcade attached to the Orange Monkey.
Yeah.
It's like, I think they just literally moved everything from the Tilt across the hallway into Orange Monkey and did that.
I mean, they pretty much just have Barnes & Noble at this point.
I mean, they got Barnes & Noble, Macy's, and JCPenney.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Macy's and JCPenney.
Because, they still have the two big anchor stores. But, yeah, there are hardly any other stores in that mall anymore. Like, how many malls do you know that don't have a Foot Locker?
Or a GameStop.
Or a GameStop. Yeah. Apparently the way that worked, the reason they closed it was because they sent a redonkulously high rent change to GameStop, and GameStop said no.
Well, remember, when we first started there, they told us that GameStop was on a bi-month basis. Like,
it was a month-to-month lease.
Yeah, whereas EB had an actual, contract, GameStop just was going by the month, and since it was doing so poorly.
Yeah, because they were planning on closing 261.
Every month I heard that. Well, we'll probably close it down, we're probably going to close it down. And then it finally came to us one day and said, so we're closing down 4610.
That was mine.
And that was Lindsay's.
Yep, that was actually where all, me, Shannon, and Lindsay all started.
Yeah, not Big Johnny, though.
No.
Big Johnny, I'm going to tell the story of how we met.
Okay.
Because I love this story.
Okay.
Big Johnny was a customer. He came in all the time. He special ordered a lot of stuff, pre-ordered a lot of stuff, which, again.
Don't do anymore.
So you would suck my dick, sir.
I mean, it's a joke, but he ain't wrong.
No. Because, I mean, the way GameStop conditioned you is if a customer walked in and they just wanted to trade something in and get cash for it, you kind of went, okay, well, here you go. But if they came in and said, hey, pre-order a couple of games, Teddy literally will knock you out of the way so he can get up there and get those pre-orders.
That's true. Hi, Teddy.
Also, yeah. So real quick. I'm kind of curious about this. When you left Big Johnny, what were, like, your weekly reserve and power-up goals?
Ooh, see, things have changed within the company. There's not goals per se anymore. There is, here's how the company's doing, here's how the here's how the region's doing, and here's how the district's doing. How do you measure up against those? So there isn't a ranking system anymore. It's just how are you doing compared to anybody else.
Right. But they didn't give you
the,
like,
illusion of self-motivation.
Yeah.
So, I can only hear Enzo and Mora going, how you doing?
Whenever
you
say that.
How you doing?
So they didn't give you, like, you should be hitting X percentage and Y percentage for your power up and subs.
Yeah. Basically it's like, how are you compared to district and why are you not at district numbers?
Gotcha. Because, well, what were district numbers out of curiosity?
Oh, man. You know, I don't really remember a solid number because it was one of those things I actually didn't give a shit about.
Fair enough. Well, when I left, the reason I was bringing this up, when I left there, I think the sub or the res goal was like 30%, meaning every one in three, like one in every three transactions, roughly, you should be getting a reserve.
Mm-hmm.
And the power up percentages were like 25, so one in four. Now, I remember when I first started at EB Games, the res goal was 10%.
Yeah.
And the sub goal was 6%.
Yep. That was all they wanted.
Yeah, that was all they wanted. Yeah. And honestly, like, especially the power-up card is so much better than the sub, or just the
edge
subscription
card.
The
edge card.
It was so much easier to sell. But at the same time, like, going from 10 and 6 to 30 and 25... Mm-hmm.
Unrealistic expectations.
Yeah, and then on top of that, I remember when I left GameStop, the minimum hours that you could have per week was 75. Like, they could give you 75 hours to spread amongst your employees.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I started at EB Games, it was 90.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, I want to put that in perspective. Here at Gaming Grounds, we have one person working at any given time. We never double up. But we also never have such a dry, such a busy day that we usually need that. And if we do need it, we'll call people in, obviously. But with GameStop, there were days I would go in and work by myself because you had to, or days I'll go in and see John, or I would see some of the other people we know there. I won't name them. And all you see behind them is stacks of trades people have brought in,
mm-hmm.
plus shipments, plus RSBs, plus this, plus that. And they're expected to do that on 70-plus hours a week, which is ridiculous. Add that onto how much money you need to or reserves and subscriptions. I mean, how can you stay sane there?
Yeah, because, I mean, well, that was they were giving us 80. They could give us as low as 75, but they were giving us 80 when I was doing the schedule there. And I remember, like, 40 went to me. Obviously, Big Johnny's hours didn't count because he was slave.
Jesse wrote the schedule because I couldn't write a schedule for shit.
And we're going to break the news out right now. John is illiterate.
I don't know nothing about writing them schedules.
He ain't got no learning.
Nope. So, I'm just extremely lucky in the position I got. That's it. Extremely lucky.
That's because you were the only one that pre-ordered the Zombrex edition.
Rising 2.
I ended up buying that edition because it went down to like $20.
Well, that's how Big Johnny and that's the first thing I remember about you was that you came in and pre-ordered that, and we still talk about it this day. Right. I mean, you showed me the pin, and I was like, hey, it's a Zombrex pin.
That's pretty cool.
So, well, there was the one other time, the Saints Row 2 Collector's Edition. When Saints Row 2 Collector's Edition didn't have the codes for the pre-order bonus, and I'm calling Chad, I'm like, hey, where's my codes?
Even worse than that, and this will tie to everybody here, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2. We've told this story before.
Oh, God.
The shitstorm that happened when we ran out of Juggernaut codes. I've never seen customers so angry about the Juggernaut before, but my God, we got so much shit over that. I don't think I've had more shit given to me at GameStop other than Christmas time with the Wii's.
Yeah, that didn't make any sense at all because it was a GameStop exclusive pre-order bonus.
It was a digital code.
How did we hit our digital allocation? Why was there an allocation? There should have just been a code generator somewhere. Because
GameStop also ain't got no learning.
Now, this was back in the day when they didn't get, like, they would just, like, mail you codes, wasn't it, on, like, a little card? There wasn't
No, at the time, they printed it out on a receipt. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought this was the old days when stuff just...
Oh, no, I don't think I was there for those days.
I wasn't either.
Yeah, all my shit was always printed out on receipts. And so many people got mad because they would come in and pick up their game and there was no code. Like, where's the Juggernaut code? Let me check. Can't give any more out. I can't give you one. We're out. It's a code.
What do you mean you're out of the code?
It's a fucking code. Is it surprising GameStop does something like this? GameStop's also the company that, if you remember, when Deus Ex came out, they went in, gutted all the physical copies, and took out the online versions.
Uh-huh.
And what really makes me mad about that, here's a personal story about GameStop fucking you. So, when Deus Ex came out for PC, what was the second one called?
Human Revolution.
Yeah. When it came out, I was going to buy it on PC, because I'm a PC gamer mostly, and I was going to buy a physical copy. So I pre-ordered a physical copy. GameStop, in its infinite wisdom, and the district manager, I won't name her, and the manager, who, it's Justin Mann, I'm pretty sure, but I'm not mad at him. They just started doing that, I don't remember what the service was called, but they were trying to compete with Steam.
Oh, yeah. You remember that? GameStop PC downloads.
Yeah. And they were just pushing that out, and they really needed people, because remember, they made a huge thing of it. Get more people to pre-order on this. Get more people to go digital.
Yeah.
So I said, all right, I'm a team player. I'll go digital. So I pre-ordered it digitally. Not only was it the most frustrating fucking experience trying to download that game, but then GameStop, in its infinite wisdom, gutted the copies of the physical copies, took out the online versions, and then got in a shitstorm of trouble for it, so they gave everybody that got the physical edition $50 in store credit. Mm-hmm. Except this guy, because he went digital for the company. And I tried to argue that. I said, well, I had a physical copy. I only did digital because you told me to. And they were just like, well, you did digital. So out of luck.
Catch game, right?
You got the game.
You can play it,
can't you? And I said, fucking eventually. Have you tried using that shit service of ours? No surprise it lasted, what, a year, if that?
Yeah.
Basically, GameStop ended up becoming the first retailer where you could buy Steam wallet funds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, that's how bad PC downloads went. GameStop was like, fuck this.
We fucked up.
We'll partner with Steam.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is what my game is available now on.
Which has become a huge venture between GameStop and Steam. But their own PC download thing just went down horribly.
Oh, it was horribly optimized. I don't understand why they thought they could compete with Steam.
No, I don't. And, you know, the argument is that brick and mortar stores are just going to go the way of the dinosaur soon anyway. Which is why I'm glad to work at a place like Gaming Grounds, 709 Broadway, 131 West Main Street in Jackson, for all your gaming needs, because I've gotten accustomed to say that. Mm-hmm. Because we carry old stuff. You know, people can still download the old games, but it's not the same. No one will go, well, I really wish I had the disc for Call of Duty 2, but they will say that about Mario Kart or Smash Brothers, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Although GameStop is now doing retro.
Yes.
Shittily.
Yeah.
It's the best way I can
say. Online only.
Online only. There was a guy who bought Chrono Trigger. I think we mentioned this on the last show, didn't we?
I don't think so.
He bought Chrono Trigger through GameStop online, got the game, paid, I think, $80 to $90 for it, got the game, and it was actually another game with a Chrono Trigger sticker on it. So GameStop didn't even, and apparently it went through two different quality testings, or supposedly did, to make sure the games worked and everything. Neither quality check knew that it wasn't the game that it was fucking labeled.
That's because they just hire people to sit there.
It probably just got plugged into a machine, saw that it started up, and then passed it along.
What a wonderful way to treat your customers and respect them.
So what I'm hearing is that we need to start buying our dollar Super Nintendo games and printing Earthbound stickers
and just send them off to GameStop
and just start sending them off.
Yeah,
because GameStop won't figure it out.
Okay. Two words for you guys, and you'll be like, oh, my God. Refurb systems.
How many times
did those come back compared to
the 360s?
The 360s. Now, I got a story about the 360s.
At Christmas, right?
At Christmas time. Okay. If you bought a refurbished 360 from GameStop around Christmas.
We need to point out, though, we're not talking about the new Slim systems.
No, we're talking about the original models.
Back in the day with the original models.
So this was probably
the Red Ring of
this
Death.
This is probably about 4 years ago. This was 4 years ago. 360 was at its peak. It was definitely winning the console wars versus PlayStation at this point, and we needed used systems to sell because we had this great deal going. This was the first holiday they tried it, where you get a free one-year warranty with your used console on Black Friday. They purposefully sent us systems they knew were not working so that we could have product to move. They sent us in an email, you guys are likely going to see a large percent of these coming back because they're probably not going to work, but we need product out the door. Whenever they come back, be kind, courteous, and understanding, and get them another system.
Pipe bomb.
That's... No, I'm sorry, but you go and you buy this for little Billy for Christmas.
Sorry, Billy.
And then Billy opens it up.
Little Billy tries to plug it in, and the thing don't work.
Yeah, can you imagine, like, being a child? I remember the time I got a Nintendo 64 when I was little. I got a Nintendo 64 for Christmas around when they first came out.
You were the kid from that video.
No, but
you've grown.
I was about that excited. No, I was super excited. Me and my little brother both were really happy about the fact that we got an N64. Actually, truth time, my mom still doesn't know this. Me and my little brother got into a room. Like, she bought it in fucking August. We got into a room and saw that we were getting an N64 for Christmas, but she never found that out.
Can I top that story real quick? Just real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
So when I got my N64 at Christmas, I was also a youngin'. Older than you, obviously. And I had a bad habit of going into under my tree, finding the most promising box, and then taking a letter opener and just cutting the tape a little bit and looking at what was in it. Saw it was a Nintendo 64. Freaked the fuck out because everybody wanted one. Waited till my mom went to work, would take the 64 out of the wrapper, play it before she got home, put it back in the Christmas package, tape it, and shove it in a corner so she wouldn't know. My dad caught me one day, and I was like, are you going to tell? He's like, nah, let's pop it in. Let's see what it is. We'll tell about it, but yeah. My mom got...
Isn't this also the same one, though, that when you got your Nintendo, he played Duck Hunt, and you didn't get to touch it?
Imagine being a kid. You open up a fucking Nintendo on Christmas. You're crying because you wanted one so bad. And then as your dad sets it up for you, because like the commercial says, your parents set it up, he starts playing Duck Hunt till 1 a.m, and I'm just going, can I please goddamn play the goddamn game? And he's just click, click.
So you were Mac.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, my mom had a rule. If we snuck a peek and found out what we were getting for Christmas, she was going to take him back.
Oh no.
That's a
bad rule.
That was my mom's rule. Now I'm pretty sure it was an empty threat, but at the same time, we didn't want to chance it.
I have two horrible Christmas stories. Well, one's horrible, one's me. 1 year, my mom had just went out and done all the Christmas shopping. Stopped at my dad's store to go talk to him, tell him she got all the shopping done. While she was inside my dad's store talking to him, somebody robbed the car and took every present out of the car.
Aww.
Yeah, my mom had to go and rebuy everything.
That doesn't make me feel good at all. Yeah.
The second story is how I used to look at my Christmas presents when I was a kid. I would actually go to the refrigerator, get out a piece of bologna, stuff it in the fold of the package, take my dog over to the package.
John, I love it.
And when my mom got home, would say, I don't know, Mom, the dog just tore into the package.
She sees like a part of a half-eaten bologna.
See,
now, wait a minute.
The bologna
and she's
there.
Like, why does the wrapper smell like bologna? I don't know.
See, we couldn't get away with that because my family were all very tape-heavy.
Mine too.
So, there's no slits to slip anything in. Oh, God.
That's absolutely true. I think the first time she ever gave me a Christmas gift.
It took you like 10 minutes to open the thing.
It was like a fucking mummy. It was just ripped up like a secret curse.
And yeah, I was actually going to say that like about Shannon's story. There was no, like once the presents were wrapped, there was no way I was getting into those fucking things without my parents knowing.
Well, see, that was the year after that. That was the year that made my mother go find boxes and put the toys in boxes and then wrap the boxes.
Oh, we do that all the time.
So we couldn't see what the actual toy was.
Yeah, we had to do that eventually. And my mom actually did get me back. God rest her soul. This is one of her most proud. She was so proud of this. But I was so mad about it. But what she did once is she, I looked under the tree and there was these two huge gifts for her. And I was like, oh, you know, they got her something really good. I was so happy she was getting something good. No, it was my gifts she put under her name. That way I wouldn't look into them. And I think it was a trench coat, which I had wanted, which got me in a lot of trouble because that was right around the time of Columbine. right before Columbine, actually. But I was so mad because I thought she was getting some great gifts and it was instead for me. So she got me. That was the only time my mom got me. She got me good. Now, speaking of Christmas and GameStop, keeping with the theme here, I want to take you guys back to when the Wii's came out. And John, were you working for GameStop?
I wasn't. I actually got the Corey Grojean special on the Wii.
God damn it. Oh my God. If I had one more person come up to me and ask me for the Corey Grojean special, and because here's what happened to Corey Grojean. I love Corey. He's a great guy. So nice to talk to and be friends with. But they called me one day. My first week at GameStop, I was actually at EB. They sent me over to GameStop because, Mike Burke got fired. And I literally had 2 days of training, I think. 3 days, maybe, before they sent me to GameStop. And the first day, Corey said, "All right, I got a softball game to go to, so I'll check on you later." He left. Left me all alone in the store. And I'm just looking around. No surprise that a month later, Carrie calls me on the weekend and goes, you probably heard we had to let Corey go. I'm sitting there in my boxers eating like cereal. I'm like, this is news to me. And then we went through a revolving door of managers, including Bobby Atwood, who I love dearly.
Yeah, and actually, Bobby Atwood didn't get fired, to be fair, from 261 anyway.
No, he left.
He got transferred. Like, he got a pay raise and went over to Kentucky.
Yeah, and his psycho wife went with him.
Right.
I think. Psycho Wave is what call her in Bison.
Fortunately, they got divorced.
And then she burned another guy's house down.
Did she really?
Yeah.
Oh, I never heard that
Ask Bobby
story.
About that sometime.
I have not seen Bobby in years.
No, neither have I. Justin Mann said he messaged him the other day. I was surprised he was still alive. And then we got Debbie.
Wasn't Debbie only there for like a week, though?
But my God, what a week.
Don't go back there, guys.
What we call her, Gravitron, the Orbinator. She was fat.
Oh, wow.
She's fat!
She was a real big lady, and she once got out of the bathroom.
Yeah, just tell the bathroom story, Jesse.
So we're hanging out, and she comes out of the back room, and she's like, "Woo, y'all don't want to go back there. I tore that toilet up."
Waving her hands,
doing the, like, the fan and the stench motion away.
Oh my God.
I think I said that a couple times to you, Jesse.
I mean, you did.
But she was a woman. I didn't know
she
women
wasn't
did
just
that.
A woman. She came out and proudly announced it to the whole goddamn. No, John would come up to me, and he'd be like, "Oh, Jesse, you don't want to go back there."
I ate buffalo wings last night.
You don't want to go there. And I wouldn't. I would like, cool. I'll be back. I'm going to the public bathroom.
I did not like using the bathroom back there. I'm a very private person when it comes to stuff like that. But every time I would come out of the bathroom, I think it was Bobby Atwood said, he would always go, "You look like you just got in a fight with Lou Boo."
Oh, I have an interesting question. Does anyone know, this is something I found out in the last day of 261. Does anybody know why there were used condoms up in the ceiling of the bathroom at 261?
What?
Used condoms?
Used.
I thought I threw those away.
Used.
The condoms I can't answer. Jesse, you got anything on that?
I got nothing on that.
The only thing I can think of is maybe they were for, no, because we were all dorks. None of us had sex.
Can we tell the story about the hidden stash?
Can we tell the story about the hidden stash? Yes. So, the legendary gold of GameStop at 261. we were working one day. This guy comes in. He wants to trade in games. They're disc only, and they're in a binder. And, we look through the games. We take the games out of the binder. We trade them in. He leaves, and he forgot his binder. So we go looking through it. I forget who was there. I know Bob was there and I was there. I don't remember if you were there, Jesse.
I think it was just you and Bob. Like, I just came in the next day and you guys were like, you got to look at this.
So me and Bob were looking at it and it's nonstop black porn.
Lesbian.
Was it lesbian black porn or?
It was lesbian black porn.
I think there was a lot of both because if I remember right, Bob actually took about half of them.
They gave him to his grandma, I'm pretty sure, for Christmas.
What?
Yeah, as a joke. I'm almost positive he gave him to his family.
He gave him to one of his family members. I don't remember if it was
I think it was the same
not,
family
but...
member that gave him the thong
with the
rattlesnake.
The snake.
Where it goes.
I think it was like big black booty bitches or something like I mean, it was horrible.
It was like the asylum indie versions of real porn. It was the lowest budget. Black porn you can think of.
Okay, we'll get back to how it came to you and then how it came to me. So you finish your part of it.
Well, we of course laughed our asses off at it, and the guy actually came back I think the next day, and that maybe have been when Jesse was there. But he comes in and he goes, "I think I left my binder here." And us being smart asses because we were dicks, mm-hmm. we were like, "Yeah, maybe." What was in it? Did not want to answer.
Nope.
He left.
Yeah, he was like, I don't think I left it somewhere else. I must have left it somewhere else, and yeah, he never came back.
He bounced out, and then Bob, I believe it was Bob, decided to hide the black porn.
No, that was me that hid it.
The treasure?
Yeah.
We hid it in the doorway where you slide the gate open. There's like a little hole back there, if I remember correctly.
And I chucked it and put it in there.
And then the legend carried on for years. It did.
What year do you think that was?
Oh, God. Well, it was when Bob was there and I was there, so at least 2000.
It was probably 2010, 2009.
2010, yeah.
Somewhere in that range.
And fast forward years later, we had forgotten about it until Big Johnny asked me about it. And I'll pass the story on to you.
Okay. So this is 2014. This was end of August 2014 when the store was closing down. I asked Shannon, I was like, I heard there is a legend that there is a binder full of porn hidden in this store somewhere. And Shannon being Shannon says, yeah, there is, but you're going to have to find it yourself. I'm not going to tell you where it's at. So on the last night that the store was open for business, so of course there was nobody there because the store had already been gutted at that point. We just decided we're going to find this porn. So we looked everywhere in the store, up in the ceilings, under the cash wrap, everywhere, trying to find it. And it was actually, and I'm sure he won't mind me dropping name here, it was Sheridan Coomer that found it.
Oh, he's a dirty, dirty pervert anyway. He's fine.
He crawled back there.
He had a sixth sense.
He crawled back there, and he found it. He's like, I think I got it. And he comes out with it, and we unzip it, and sure enough, there it is. We go looking through it. So I take a picture of it and send it to Shannon to prove that we had found the treasure.
I was so excited when he sent that picture. I was like, holy shit.
They found it.
I can't believe someone found it.
So then we take a piece of receipt tape, and we say, in loving memory of GameStop Store 261, put the date on it and signed it, zipped it back up, and put it where we found it. So it's probably still there.
It's still there. No store has gone in there. So, yeah, it's certainly still there.
Probably won't anytime soon. Yeah. Oh, my God. I love that binder of porn. That's probably my favorite story from GameStop because it just carried on for so many years. And pretty much all the other stories from GameStop are just nightmares. Lindsay, you've been pretty quiet on this. I want you to tell your GameStop story. Tell us about the time I almost got in trouble for calling someone names because they called you names.
Oh, okay. So we sold a lady an original Xbox.
Right.
And then about 4 months later, she came back in. No, she had her receipt, but they did not purchase the extended warranty, so 30-day return policy on systems that don't work.
And GameStop was very strict about that, might be
added. And I apologized to her and said, ma'am, you didn't buy the warranty. I can't just give you another one. We can trade this one in as a defective for you, which at that point in time was like next to nothing.
Yeah.
To which she got in my face and stormed off. And then I'm pretty sure it was the next day she called again, bitching about it. I just happened to be the winner that got to deal with it. And once again, I tried to stay calm and tried to smooth things over with her. But in the end, I ended up getting called a cunt. Teddy got called a nigger.
I think it's the first time Lindsay said that word on the show.
It absolutely is.
And then Shannon wandered over from next door as I'm nearly in tears. And then you took over.
And I gave them the thrashing of a lifetime.
And then a week later, Pat gave in and gave them what they wanted.
Oh, my. Well, almost.
The
end of the story, let me point out, is that I got on the phone with them, and after Lindsay told me that they had called her a cunt, because you and I had been together for, what, 3-4 years at that point? Somewhere around that range.
4 or 5.
Yeah, so halfway point. I was real mad, because I'm very protective. So I completely went out of GameStop store manager mode and went into, because this is when I was managing EB. In that brief period, if I remember correctly. And I got on the phone and...
Well, no, it couldn't have been. Because you and Lindsay weren't working... You and Lindsay were never in the same store.
What's I say? She worked at GameStop.
No, this was when she was still at EB.
No, that was where was the little hiatus where managers switched around. And because of it, you had to go over to EB for a bit. And I worked at GameStop for like a month and a half.
Right, but you were at GameStop at the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
I don't remember if I was manager or if I was just ASM over there.
An ASM, but we had to switch stores because of our status.
The thing. Well, I got on the phone with the person and told him to never come back in our store, and then I cussed him out and gave him a thrashing. And then I had to talk to the DM because they had heard I called him Carrie was on vacation or something. And do you guys remember the name of the DM? His name was Rob.
Moneymaker.
That was Jason, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Jason Moneymaker.
No, this guy's name was Rob. He was another DM from another place, and he was just filling in, and he had the gravelly voice.
See, I thought Moneymaker was the other DM then.
I think at that point he had been promoted. I think he was gone at that point.
I didn't think
he's still a DM to this point.
Is he?
Yeah.
It's okay. Crazy considering they all other got fired.
He's up in the,
I thought he got higher up.
I believe he's in the Indiana area now.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But I told him what had happened. And, no, he called me because he was concerned because I guess the customer called him, said that I had cussed him out. And, he was really upset about it. So I proceeded to tell him how they had called Lindsay a cunt and Teddy a nigger and this and that. And at the end, he went, "All right, well, good job. If they ever come back in, tell them to fuck off."
Yeah. And I said I shouldn't have even stayed on the phone for as long as I did.
Right.
But
so we hang up, and unbeknownst to me, they came in when Pat was there. And Pat, God bless you. But he gave in. He told him, "All right, we'll replace it for you." And then I had to call them and tell them to come get the replacement. So I called them begrudgingly and told them to come in and get it on this specific day at this specific time so I wouldn't have to see them. And if I ever saw them in the store again, I would call the cops. They never came in to get it.
Yeah, I remember that Xbox just sitting behind the counter for months.
Yeah. I like to think that they were just scared that I was going to beat their ass, which I was pretty pissed off at that point. Yeah. Although it's not – my telling a customer off isn't nearly as good as MC telling a customer to fuck himself.
Oh, God. That was great.
I come real close to that point several times in my career.
Well, just telling somebody MC didn't to fuck know himself. He was telling a customer to go fuck himself. He thought he was talking to Kevin Schenkelberg.
Yeah, because Kevin Schenkelberg coincidentally just happened to be on the phone at the exact same time and looked at MC, making him think he was on the phone with him.
Because it was back when the height of the Wii trouble. So Kevin calls in. Or no, Kevin doesn't call in. Kevin goes outside because he has to make a phone call.
Yeah.
Unrelated.
God damn it, yes.
So he needed to go outside and make a phone call. So the store phone rings. MC answers it. And it's somebody asking. And the joke then, like all of us would ask, you know, "You got any Wii's?" Because that was the question we got several times a day.
Yeah.
Like 20 to 30.
To the point that we actually answered the phone until they told us to stop with, "Thank you for calling GameStop. We're currently sold out of Wii's."
And then click.
And then
click.
They'd ask you anyway.
Do you guys have any Weasel stock?
Because they would not listen to that intro.
Yeah. Go
Nobody
fuck yourself.
To the intro.
So, yeah. So, MC answered. He never used that intro. But MC answered the phone. And the guy asked, like, "Hey, y'all got any Weasel in stock right now?" In a voice that Kevin would have actually used. And then MC just looks out at Kevin. And Kevin being Kevin, he's just, like, smiles and waves. And then MC just looks at the phone and is like, "Go fuck yourself." Click. Hang up. And then Kevin's still on the phone talking. And then Kevin hits in like a couple of minutes later and comes inside. And he's like, "Hey, what's up?"
And MC's like, "You know what's up. Not a clue."
The guy ended up calling back because he's like, What just happened?" And MC's like made up some story on the spot of like, "Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I thought you were another customer. It's been harassing me all day. I'm very, very sorry. No, we're sold out of Wii's."
That's one of those lucky instances where you don't lose your job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Big Johnny.
Yeah.
Now that you were free from that job, why did you leave? Do you mind me asking?
Well, there's one story I wanted to share because I can't remember if it was you that was with me, Jesse, that time, but there was a customer that was just being god-awful stupid on the phone. And I was like, "This stupid shit, I don't want to talk to this dumbass anymore. I've already talked to him two fucking times. I'm not talking to this guy anymore." And you're like, the phone's not on mute.
Yeah, because that was me. And I told John, he was sitting there going off on this person. And I look over at the phone and it's not on mute. So I'm like, "John, the phone's not on mute." And he's like, "Holy shit!" And it's in calling. What's it up? I don't know who that was, but they never called back.
I'm pretty sure we lost a customer that day.
Oh, yeah. That was just really funny. Because, yeah, I was like, "John, that's not on mute."
I never did anything that bad, although I did insult. Pat was on the phone with an idiot customer who relayed the story to me. And then when Pat told me the story, somebody else came in. I relayed the story to them and talked about what an idiot the customer was. Well, the customer was standing right there and walked up to the counter and said, "I'm that idiot you're talking about." And I was like, "Oh, God." Pat literally shrunk to this big and disappeared behind the counter and just yelled out, "Deal with it."
You know, that happened to me one time. I don't know if you guys ever heard the story about the Two Worlds 2 Collector's Edition that Jeremy refused to return.
Yeah, because he came into our store.
I was there with him that day, and I just kept shrinking behind the counter to the point where I got on my knees and was actually hiding under the cash wrap to where only my eyes were above the cash wrap because I was so embarrassed at that point.
Yeah, because that dude was pissed. I think it was Zach Harris, wasn't it?
I think it was that.
Big red beard.
I think it was that.
He came over, because he was super pissed about that.
Yeah.
I remember Bobby Atwood did that once when the guy with the one arm came in. You know what I'm talking about, Jesse. One arm stinky?
Yeah.
And he came in and we were super busy. We had a super huge line. So me and Bobby are both behind the cash register and I'm helping out Stinky Arm and like stank leg, stank arm, you know? Mm-hmm. He had one arm and the other was a nub, just so people know. And I'm not making fun of people with nubs. Nubs are fine.
He should have been able to bathe.
Just take a shower.
Just take the shower. And he comes up to me, and I haven't slept at this point in 2-3 days. I'd been up nonstop for whatever reason. I don't sleep well, so I'm dead tired. He walks up. He hands me his credit card to purchase. I go to swipe, and his arm that's still there is right by it. And I say, you know, watch your arm. I don't want to cut it off. To which point, Bobby smiles real big and disappears behind the counter and just starts laughing. And he tugs on me. He's like, do you realize what you just said? Which I did not, because I was tired. Oh,
John, do you remember the guy that came in that had the Mickey Mouse voice?
Uh-huh. I think I've heard this story.
So, this guy comes in. And we need to get back to the Venom about GameStop, by the way, pretty soon.
We've got 10 minutes left. We need to even tell its story.
Tell the syndicates we're going to go long. Tell the syndicates we're going
to go long. I'm going to text the network and let them know.
Let them know this is going to be a longer show.
Are you talking about the two brothers?
Yeah, the one that had
one
that
talks like this.
He had like the super.
And then his brother talks like this. It's like his brother got all his testosterone.
I never heard his brother talk, but no, this kid like had this super like thin, wispy blonde hair that was like straight up in curls. And he was this bigger kid. And I mean, he looked like he was of a reasonable age, but like he goes up to talk to John and John was like, hey man, is there something I can help you with? And the John voice, of course. And, then Mickey Mouse was just out of nowhere. I was wondering if you guys had, and I had to go to the back room. I promptly went.
He comes out like, Jesse, you son of a bitch.
Cause I go back there and I just start laughing. I was like, and I had to text John from the back, like, I can't be out there. I can't. I'm normally good at holding it in, but I can't.
We used to disappear into the back room a lot, usually when Dave Mahoney walked in.
Oh, yeah.
We could devote an entire show to Dave
Mahoney.
We could
have an entire show on Dave Mahoney.
Like I say, he won't come back here, though.
No, he won't.
Unrelated.
He's probably at home right now grasping his pillow in tears because Mortal Kombat got canceled for 360.
Yeah, thank God.
No, he's going to trade his wrestling belt for an Xbox One. One day, Shannon will crack.
God damn it. God damn it. Signed by Crime Time.
Yeah. Signed by Crime Time.
Those jabronis. What else do you want?
They shouldn't have answered their phone.
He shouldn't have pulled out that knife.
No, he should not have. God damn.
Now all you can think about is Dave Mahoney, isn't it?
Oh no, I'm still thinking about Mickey Mouse.
Well, we got a guy we call Cat Piss because
Joseph Goodman. Cat Piss?
No, not Joseph Goodman. We could devote another whole show to Joseph Goodman as well.
No, I definitely remember Cat Piss.
Cat Piss.
Cat Piss. And his mama come in. His mama come in, and guess what? Mama smelled like cat piss too.
They both like okay. So they were almost certainly on meth. Like that's what the smell was.
What did the gentleman look like? I just want to make sure I'm not thinking of who you're talking about.
It was a methed out individual.
What did he look like? Did he look like the Undertaker? Was he really pale with red hair?
I don't think he had red hair. I'm pretty sure he had like really dark hair.
I'm making sure this isn't a guy I know. I grew up with.
No, they would come in and yeah, they were definitely, I guess it smelled like they'd just been out in their car, either A, rolling around in cat pee or B, just like meth. Like
I can't stop thinking of that. A music video with R. Kelly, but R. Kelly's a cat and he's peeing on him. That's the image that's stuck in my head at this point. He's got the bandana on and everything. So Cat Piss 1 and Cat Piss 2 used to come in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there was. But nothing could ever touch the unearthly smell that John Goodman
Joseph Goodman. You talk about John Goodman one more goddamn time.
I'm so sorry.
The man is a legend.
With your cute little kitty cat contacts that you used to wear until it made your eyes rot out.
He wore those.
I'm sure he tried to return them for cash, too, at some point.
He wore them on Halloween. Ew. And he kept, like, he came in on Halloween with them. And I was like, okay, whatever. Then he came in for the next 6 months with them. And I thought, that's just disgusting.
And at some point, he started, like, his eyes started turning red. Mm-hmm. Because he actually got an eye infection from wearing those contacts because he never took them out. And they were like, you know, they were cosmetic contacts. They weren't meant to be worn for any more than a few hours at a time.
Right.
And he wore them for 6 months straight.
It's not like these were, you know, by a doctor. No. These were something he just picked up at some fucking Walmart or something.
And importantly, with his dirty ass house.
Oh.
But no, like, do you remember? Because I think it was you that was working with me when they played DDR and came in.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. I've heard
he smelled
story.
Like ass and maggots.
Yeah. So him and his wife came in, and they looked like they just come out of the rain. Like, so much, in fact, that I asked them, wow, is it raining out there? And I felt really bad for a second when he said, no, we just got done playing DDR. This is just from one match. Boy, we're out of shape. And I was looking at him like, uh-huh. Uh-huh. So
remember when nasty. She dressed up as a schoolgirl for the convention?
I do.
Remember when she was pregnant, but you couldn't tell?
Because, like, oh, that, God, that was also bad, because she came in and announced that she was pregnant, and Jana was like, oh, really, how far along are you? 9 months.
Oh, okay. And then he named his daughter Crystal, and he proceeds to still wear shirts that have anamorphic characters on it, bent over with their vagina showing.
One of them featuring a character by the name of Crystal from the Star Fox series. Yeah.
You never saw his PS3. I did.
I'm sorry.
His wallpaper on his PS3 was naked fat chicks.
Ew.
God damn.
That's surprising, actually.
His wife had a girlfriend that lived with him.
Well, I never heard about that.
I heard about this, yeah. Because you were their neighbor, yes. Weren't you? Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I knew God, that yes, I was.
Because weren't they at one point, like, didn't they get child services called on them because their power was shut off?
Their power was shut off, so they decided to squat in the backyard in a tent in 110-degree weather.
What? Yeah.
And this is while their child was still, like, a year old?
Like, 2 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then let's not forget the time that they were talking to Mimi out in the parking lot, and he had,
shout out to Mimi.
Yeah. And he had...
Happy 30th.
His child in a, I guess you could call it a papoose, whatever you want to call it.
Jesse, what's a papoose? Okay, thank you.
You're not smart. Strapped around, like, the front of him. And, you know, because it was an infant, she started crying. So the way that Joseph Goodman deals with a crying infant is by covering her face with his hand.
Sounds about right.
That's called attempted murder.
Yep, because how else do you stop a child from interrupting your conversation but to smother them with non-attention?
This has nothing to do with that, but it just reminded me of another GameStop story where we were all working one night, and we see these guys and a girl, maybe two girls, walk out in front of the store. And if you guys know 261 in the mall, it has that glass window when you come in, kind of that indent right there, indention or whatever, where we used to put boxes and stuff. Mm. Well, they get in an argument, and the guy grabs the girl and literally pushes her so hard, he pushed her through the boxes, and she almost hit the glass, and she fell to the ground. And immediately, Chris Howe, the all-star that he is, jumps over the counter, runs out, pushes the guy away like a fucking superhero before I even have a chance to do anything. And the girl gets up and pushes Chris and is like, leave him alone, leave him alone, grabs the guy, is like, please, baby, let's go before they call the cops. And we thought, are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me?
Yep.
Sorry. I was just had to go off on that because that still boggles my mind. Also, I had a girl faint in front of me once. Damnedest thing I'd ever seen. She's sitting there talking to me with her boyfriend, and all of a sudden her eyes kind of roll in the back of her head, and she just falls to the floor. And we go, I just go, is she all right? Yeah, she does this.
My what, scary what is she, a fainting one goat? I had a little kid have a seizure in the store once. That was terrifying.
Didn't he throw up?
No, that was someone with their baby, and the baby threw up, and then I had to clean it, and it took me like 20 minutes because I kept almost throwing up every time I looked at it.
This was still at...
Yes, because right. No one from the mall would come and clean it.
I also remember a time where I was hanging out with Lindsay after close, and because we'd always go check on each other at the end of the night, you know, GameStop and EB. We were close like that. Mm. And as the gate's closing, this guy starts to walk under it, and Lindsay goes, "Don't you dare." And he backed out.
Because it was already like 3/4 of the way down.
I also, John, please tell me this. Please tell the story, because I love this story, of when you were going to open for Black Friday, mm-hmm. and they were cussing at you from the line.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that,
yeah.
That was the night me and Jesse showed up.
Yeah.
Just to look.
Hey, you could tell the second part of that story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, before that, there, I did have an incident where someone actually took a shit in the floor.
Ew.
What?
Yeah.
That happened at GameStop?
Oh, yeah.
Was it a child or was this adult poop?
I hope it was a child.
Was this after I left?
I think so.
Okay. Because I don't, I feel like I would have remembered this.
Because
you,
I was like,
did you make
I,
Chelsea clean it up?
Because it wasn't that recent. It was, oh, I don't remember, but I'm like, I'm not cleaning that shit up out of the floor.
Literally.
I'm not cleaning that shit. That is not my shit. I'm not cleaning that shit.
That shit ain't shit.
So are we talking about the one time, for Black Friday where I made the speech before I opened the doors?
It was my first holiday back. Like, it was you and I's first holiday together.
I think you had Mauser with you.
Yeah. You had Mauser and Krista that
morning. I had to make the William Wallace speech before I opened the doors.
Yeah.
It's like, ladies and gentlemen, it's Black Friday.
That shit was rough, man.
Oh God, it was so fucking rough.
There were so many people.
It was so rough that Jesse had to help me.
Yeah, cause we just showed up. We decided to go out shopping. Mm-hmm. We were like, we're just gonna go look at Black Friday stuff. And we walk in through the doors. And I think this was either the first or the second year after I'd been fired. And
it would have been the first holiday after you'd been fired, yeah, because it was my first holiday back.
Yeah. Cause it was weird going there and not being a part of it. And we walk in and we see the line, which stretched from the door all the way through the mall.
Because if anybody knows 261, they know it was a small store.
Tiny.
Mm-hmm. Tiny, tiny store. Yeah. And trying to cram, it had to have been at least 300 to 400 people in that store.
It was
ridiculous.
We're trying to get into that store anyway.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
There was a good like 60 or 70 in at one point.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Which Jesse had to help with it. And I believe they yell at you, open the fucking doors.
That was my first year with GameStop when I was still over at the Seamer store.
Right. Okay.
It was the year that the Kinects come out and I had to go out and say, I have 4 Kinects. Who wants them? Lady goes, I don't care what you have. Why don't you just open the fucking door?
I was like, no Kinect for you, ma'am.
I'm right.
Back of the line.
Jesus Christ. As much as I hate GameStop, I hate the customers of GameStop more. A lot of them were like the customers of Walmart, where they were just the rudest. They thought that they were above you. They could speak down to you. There was that guy that me and Pat had to deal with. He wanted to sell his PSP, and he kept, like, Pat would tell him what it traded in for, and then the guy would laugh and say, no, you'll give me this much for it. And then I started laughing at him because of how fucking ridiculous it was, and the guy looks right at me and goes, ha, screw you, and I laughed harder. I wanted to fucking kill that guy. That and the woman that brought in the Madden game said that there was no
God,
disc inside.
Fuck that lady.
You know, the sealed copy.
That fucking drunk. Oh, God.
I know what you're going to say. Don't say it. Do not say it. John, you had a story. You talk. Because Jesse's about to say something offensive.
Well, I was going to make the comment of, as bad as the holiday season is with customers, what is worse is tax time.
Oh,
you mean PS3
tax time?
Is
because you get these assholes that have an extra comma in their bank account and think they can talk shit to you and talk to you like you ain't shit.
Because they're rich right now.
Because they're rich until they go blow it, and then the next week they try to bring it back to you and you laugh at them and say, hi, I can only trade this system in since you opened it. No, I had one lady one year. Okay, this was the year, and Jesse, you might remember this because you were there. This was the year that the PS3s came bundled with the God of War Saga. Do you remember this lady?
I do remember this lady because this lady was I talked to her on the phone first.
This lady wanted to bring her system back because I lied to her. God of War Saga, as you know, has on disc God of War 1, God of War 2, God of War 3. Then it had downloads of the 2 PSP remastered versions.
Right.
She says, that guy lied to me because it doesn't have all the God of War games in it. I'm like, yes, it does. 2 of them you have to download. Well, that's bullshit. I want my money back on this system.
Ma'am, you already opened it. Because no, I was the first person to interact with this fucking whore.
She was too. She was white trash.
Oh, very much. So yeah, I was the first person to interact with this person. She, like, I remember Katie was in the store with me. And she called. I was on the phone with this woman for 30 minutes explaining to her that it was digital. You got the games. I am very sorry that you don't have the ability to download them.
I remember
but
telling
you
me
got
the story.
Them.
Yeah.
They are there. You have the codes for them. No, I cannot give you a refund. It's a brand new system. You got three games with it. And then I tried telling her, I was like, you know, even outside of that, you got a great deal on the game. Because that system is the same price as a system without the fucking games. And she wouldn't hear it. She wanted her money back. Which more than likely, she needed more meth. She decided that groceries were important.
She needed cigarettes.
Cigarettes, whatever she needed.
Her
she
baby
realized
needs cigarettes.
That the PlayStation 3 was beyond her means, and she just realized that too late. Mm-hmm. And she was using the digital shit as a means to get around it. Or she was looking for us to just give her free shit to make her go away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we outright refused because fuck her.
Did this ever go above you guys?
Nope.
Good, because you know why.
Oh, yeah, they would have definitely
given her money back.
Yeah, they would have made us give her money back.
Which is fucking ridiculous.
Now, lo and behold, God, there's plenty of other stories we could tell with our old DM who would just cave like a jellyfish.
God damn it. Which, working for Jackie sucked.
I'm about to say Jackie or Courtney, because Carrie I loved. Oh, Carrie Courtney. I still love to this day.
Yeah, I like Carrie.
Carrie,
a lot.
I love you in ways that I should never tell you. just for the record.
I mean, Courtney was still kind of a hard ass.
Courtney was pretty cool too. Yeah, Courtney treated me right. Yeah. She flat out told me whenever they decided to go with Jeremy over me for manager, she kind of hinted that it was a bullshit decision. Which I agreed.
Yeah. Right.
Jeremy didn't get fired though.
Nope.
Piece of shit.
Yep. Yeah, didn't he go to a conference one time and just blow smoke in Jackie's
face?
Yeah,
his last conference, he basically knew that he wasn't going to be around anymore. Shortly after that. So he takes a huge hit off of his vaporizer because he's got one of those huge smoke machine types, blows it right in her face. And she goes, I would appreciate if you not do that again. So what does he do? He hits it again, blows it right in her face again. And she gets pissed and just walks off.
And now you got fired for a Facebook comment.
Now they yanked his ass out of a room, pulled him in with HR and slapped him on the wrist and sent him back on his way.
And you got fired for a Facebook comment.
I did. To be fair, it was the first time a guy had blown something in her face in years.
But she was lesbian.
That's what I'm saying.
Allegedly.
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 Yeah.
Because,
we don't want lawsuits.
Yeah.
I got enough of those threats lately.
But yeah, no, I mean, she actually accidentally admitted to it on a conference call once because she described her roommate.
Yeah. Now, she was talking about the iPhone and how with the iPhone, her roommate would have to do is say, wake me up at 6:30 and then set the phone down and the phone was set. So she unintentionally admitted right there that her roommate was
now,
right there.
This isn't a woman in her early 20s or even her early 30s when roommates can still be a thing.
Yeah.
Now this woman is like 50s. Near 60.
Yeah.
And a professional woman, like she was district manager at GameStop.
See, I don't know if I believe that she had a girlfriend because I don't believe she had a soul. I don't think she was capable of human emotion. This is the same woman that, knowing my father was deathly ill, told me if I needed anything to let her know and she'd make it happen and then fired me a couple weeks later. This is the same woman who, I was on a conference call with her and Justin Dombach can attest to this. She's talking about, you know, you remember conference calls, they're boring as shit. But, we had just gotten in the Emmett Smith dog football game.
Yeah.
To which I, brought it up on the conference call and I mentioned it and everyone laughs because it's so ridiculous. And she just goes, what about it? To which then my phone buzzed and I checked it and it was Justin Dombach and he said, this woman has no soul. No, she does not. Go ahead.
But yeah, she was let go from the company.
A lot of people were let go from the company.
Yeah.
A lot of people quit the company.
Well, I don't.
That's what you call a sinking ship.
I honestly don't want to talk about this because there's ongoing litigation, but there was something that happened within her district that she turned a blind eye to that got her fired. So, yeah, with that having ongoing litigation, I don't want to speak about that publicly on what that was.
No, that's fine.
But
like I said, lawsuits, we don't want them.
Yeah. So let's talk about the real dirt here. We got what, 2 minutes left?
Well, we're 7 minutes over, but you know what? We own the network.
We do what we want.
Fuck it.
Okay.
All right, let's get to the real
dirt. So let's hit deceptive practices, okay?
Oh, so you want to get into this?
Let's hit deceptive practices. You already hit on that a little bit.
All right.
Let's tell you about one. How about the fact that GameStop will take a brand new game, take the wrapper off of it and send it to your store as a pre-owned copy.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll take the hit off of it being new so they can sell it for pre-owned and make more of a profit.
You talking about Xenoblade?
I was about to say, I was going to bring up earlier when we were talking Xenoblade Chronicles.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to talk about getting fucked by GameStop.
Go ahead, Jesse. Yeah.
Xenoblade Chronicles is those of you probably know, and I think this is what was the one Big Johnny was hinting at. It was a GameStop exclusive title for the Wii. And it was extremely popular, still is extremely popular. There's a Shulk from that game is in Smash Brothers. It was that popular.
Yes.
Now, because it was a GameStop exclusive, once it went out of print, quote unquote, the price skyrocketed. Those yes. things were going for like $75 online or more.
And GameStop saw an opportunity.
I don't know if they just were waiting on it or if they had the company print more or what they did, but suddenly, every GameStop in the company was getting used copies of the game.
Like five or more.
Yeah, and now when
Which
I say
brand
used,
new, yeah.
priced
yeah,
at $90.
Right, yeah, when I say new used, again, air quotes, because they were, like, occasionally we would get shipments from GameStop where they would have stuff that was converted from new, and they would be, like, you could tell they were brand spanking new games. They just sent them to us as pre-owned.
So they could sell it higher.
Yeah. Well, or if, you know, we just didn't have a new SKU for it anymore, you know, that kind of stuff. Sometimes it wasn't as shady as this. But, like, with Xenoblade Chronicles, it retailed at $49.99 originally and was still in the computer at $49.99 new. So they were sending us pre-owned copies at $79.99.
Which that price point, by the way, has still maintained.
Yes.
Even now, even
it's
here.
It's went down to 50.
I hope ours have dropped too, because I pretty much.
Now, I was actually, that's a good point, but I was actually referring to shortly after, Arkham Knight launched, Witcher launched, some of the bigger, Xbox One and PS4 games that have launched in here recently, they have sent us copies already opened up. And said, sell these as pre-owned. Because they're trying to make a better profit margin.
Yeah.
That's how they're pushing the profit margin.
Yeah.
Is by selling these new games at pre-owned. They take the hit off of them being new. They convert them to pre-owned. Bring in new games. They get a better profit margin off of it.
Well, I mean, if you want to talk about deceptive practices, let's get into it.
You going to talk about checking out games?
Yes. And I don't think this is a secret. I think this is common knowledge now. And shame on the consumer for letting them get away with this, but GameStop not only allows it, but encourages people to
not
open
only
up,
encourages,
enforces,
enforces,
yeah, open up new games, play them, and then sell them as new.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Back when I worked there, we'd toe the corporate line. If someone called us out on it, because a couple people did know, we would say, well, it's like if you drive a new car, you get in a new car and test drive it. It's still new, right? You're still paying full price. And at the time, that's what I would tell people, but that's a bullshit reason.
Yeah, and we would also tell people, like, you know, it's very strict, you know, if we damage it in any way, like if there's any sign of wear or tear, if any codes have been used, the employee is responsible for everything, mm-hmm. which
it's
isn't
true.
Wrong.
Yeah.
But it's also not true that we checked it that rigorously.
Oh, no.
I mean, fortunately, everybody at GameStop at the time of this was pretty careful.
Not Lawrence, because he scratched up a copy of Mass Effect, which I bought. Because I was going to buy it anyway, I bought his scratched new copy so he wouldn't have to do it. I was helping him out, and then he got fired for stealing.
Yep, that happened. But, oh, that was shady as shit, too, but we can get into that later.
Maybe we'll save that for a part two.
Yeah, because I remember me and Shannon were working, and Carrie was in there, and some customer asked her about this new game that had just come out like a week or so ago. And she hadn't played it yet because she was a DM. She probably played hardly any video games. So she turns to me and Shannon. Was like, hey, have either of you guys played this game yet? And me and Shannon both responded, you know, something along the lines of, you know, one hasn't gotten traded in yet, so we're waiting to get a used copy so we can check it out and play it. So, the customer leaves and everything else. It's just me, Shannon, and Carrie in the store now. And Carrie's like, why don't you just check out a new copy? And that's when Shannon was like, well, we don't do that. We feel it's wrong to check out a new copy and then sell it as new after we've been playing it. And she was like, no, you guys will start checking out games and you will start playing them because you have to have that knowledge for the customer when they ask about new games. And then Shannon was like, well, we really don't like to do that. It's really, really shady. And she was like, no, if you don't start doing it, I will write you both up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that GameStop dirty little secret that, you know, isn't so much of a secret everybody knows about.
Yeah, because we're not the first people to tell people this.
No, yeah, it's pretty common knowledge.
But it's ridiculous that it still happens. And, no. I mean, how can you open something, play it, and then dare to sell it to somebody for full price?
Well, I didn't use the code.
Especially when they had such a strict return policy on new games.
Oh, yeah.
If somebody had a brand new game and they wanted to return it, The answer was absolutely not.
No. And if you, like, here we're way more lenient. We can be more lenient with people. If it's a good argument and they're nice and we want to help them, we can make things happen. But at GameStop, if you dared to go outside the policy, you better have an explanation and email to the district manager ASAP letting them know why, and it better be goddamn
Otherwise,
good.
You get okay. a call from HR asking about what happened.
Well, this has actually changed in about the last month.
Really?
Yes. The policy now is stick to the policy guidelines, but if a customer is not happy, do whatever you have to do to make them happy.
Which is what they would do if it got to them anyway.
Right. They just took out the step where you had to call the DM.
Yeah, because apparently DMs are not supposed to interfere with this whatsoever. As long as you do something for the customer and you email the DM saying, hey, I gave this person $10 off this game, then the DM's not supposed to say a word about it.
Well, that's definitely changed.
Yeah, because they used to be way more hard asses about it.
Well, remember the call I got from Loss Prevention?
Oh, I do.
Oh, about God, the tablets? I almost got fired for that.
Ooh, oh, that was bad.
Wow. Oh, do tell.
Okay.
Well,
so,
I'll tell you what. We'll end on this story, and then we're going to set up a part two that we'll do in the next week or so.
Okay.
Well, sure. I'm having too much fun with this.
Now, we can get into the real dirt next time, because this was too much happy stories.
Yeah. This will be the tease. We're cock teases.
Okay, so.
I'm teasing your cock right now, John.
It was holiday. It was Black Friday, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, it was right before Black Friday.
I think. We had to set up these little sale price stickers.
I remember those days.
And I had put the wrong sale price on these tablets. And so.
They're like the Galaxy. They're Galaxy tabs.
Yeah.
Which, first off, why the fuck is GameStop selling Galaxy tabs? Whatever. GameStop, you used to be cool.
But I had to discount. He bought both of them because I had them mispriced. And I had to mark them down. What was it, $20 or $40 a piece?
Oh, it was more than that, because I think the total discount on them was $120.
It was quite a chunk.
Because I think they were supposed to be on sale for like $40 off.
Yeah.
And then I think you marked them at like $60 off, because you marked them down to like the some other generic shit tablet that we had.
Yeah. But anyway, so I give the guy his discount. Jesse looks right at me and says, hey, you better email somebody on that. With it being holiday season, you know, I'm running around like the chicken with its head cut off, going four different directions at the same time.
Right.
I forgot to do it. So, what, about a month, 2 months later?
Something like that.
Jackie comes in and she's like, hey, you need to come in the back for a minute. So I get the infamous HR call where I have to sit down and talk to a person on the phone, on speakerphone.
Yep.
And they're like, hey, do you know this person? No. Why'd you give him a discount? What are you talking about? The tablets? Tablets you marked down for this guy? You giving him a special treatment? I was like, oh, that situation. Let me tell you about that. So HR is going to sniff you out and know if you're bullshit, or I should say loss prevention, not HR.
Yeah. Yeah.
Loss prevention.
You guys don't have ours. They're called AP now. So we have ass pros.
What?
They changed loss prevention to asset protection. So we have ass pros now.
Fantastic.
So a loss prevention guy, most of the time these guys are ex-military or ex-police detectives.
God, you make them sound like the Expendables.
they really are.
Schwarzenegger breathing down your neck.
They're horrible. You never want to get on a LP call. So I'm like, fuck it, I'm busted. I'm going to tell the guy the truth, and if I get fired, I get fired. Oh, well, fuck it.
Yeah, because, like, so far, especially at 261, like, LP has, like, I think at that point it had a 5-for-5 track record on, like, shit-canning people. Like, every person that talked to LP got shit-canned.
Yeah, this guy. Except when they shit-canned me, they were very nice, shook my hand, told me I was an amazing worker, and good luck in the future.
But you got the HR call.
Yeah, that was
HR. I didn't get a call. I had a guy come in with
Jackie. So you had HR, though.
And they were sweet.
HR is fine.
I saw everybody else get let out in handcuffs.
LP is not fine. Right. Yeah, no. that was Lawrence.
Yeah, and Matt. Both of them. Yeah. Not Matt Sin.
No,
we love you, Mattson.
HR is like, hey, guy, I'm sorry. We're going to have to let you go.
Well, because they're like, so we know what you did. You might as well tell me.
LP is like, what'd you do? You can tell me. I already know what you did, so you might as well tell me. So I just came out with it. I was like, oh, yeah, I fucked up. I gave the guy a discount, and he left happy. Okay. So as long as you ever do that again, you need to send an email to Jackie and an email to me so we know about it.
Now, importantly, that whole process took about a week. So John was sitting there stressing and, like, hyperventilating
making you
for
sweat.
A week.
Yeah. Because they make you miserable.
Yeah, because like he came back out, and like after Jackie left and after LP and everything, he got done with all that conversation. He's like, Jesse, it's been a good run. we've had a good time. And he's almost in tears, honestly. Like, it was real bad. And then, like, I was like, holy shit, what happened? And he was like, it's those fucking tablets. Those fucking tablets. I should have listened. And just, oh, man, it was bad. And, yeah, they made him sweat for a week before they were like, mm-hmm.
Oh, you're cool.
And then that was it. That was
I didn't even get wrote up for it.
Yeah.
I didn't even get a write up for it. They were just like, okay, you're cool.
They just wanted you to suffer.
Just don't do it again.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. We will continue this. We'll talk next time about how GameStop makes you suffer and what we can all do to make them suffer just a little bit.
And we'll tell you about them taking employees out in handcuffs for bullshit.
And we'll tell you about them oh, God, there's so much.
There really is so much.
We'll see if we don't get shut down for this one first.
Let's see. What else can we talk about? We've kind of hit on deceptive practices.
I mean, there's a lot more we can talk about. We can talk about mistreatment of employees. We can talk about all
mistreatment of customers. We can talk about reserve policies that they did not follow, fake names, fake accounts. We can talk about any. I mean,
There's a lot of stuff.
GameStop
to talk about.
Is not for whatever they do. They definitely do not have a lack of shade to them,
mm-hmm. right?
So we'll talk about all of that next time. We'll continue this with Big Johnny, Medium Jesse, and Little Lindsay.
I mean, that's kind of accurate, but you know,
we'll do all that next time. John, thanks for coming in and venting a little bit. Actually, it was mostly good. It was mostly fun.
Yeah, actually,
it was a fun time.
This was like the happy precursor.
This is the calm before the
storm.
This wasn't
Retail Hell Part 2 that I thought.
This is a New Hope.
Oh no, this was a GameStop.
we got Empire Strikes Back coming next week.
We'll do Retail Hell. All right, next one, Retail Hell Part 2, Two Fingers, and we'll try to get. Well, shit. We could have the whole peanut gallery there for that one because everybody's got some kind of beef, except most people that have problems with it are still working there. So we'll have to be careful about who we get because we don't want to burn any bridges. We give a fuck about GameStop. I picked up my pre-order for the Retro 3-pack for Amiibos. Jesse, did you do that yet?
Oh, no, I haven't.
I need to go pick that up.
Yeah.
Because that is it for me. You have my word. I will not step foot in a GameStop at this point.
Shit, we have to for Lonnie.
I don't.
You can send someone else.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, I don't. I do. So I will not step foot in that motherfucker again now that John's not there. There's still people there I like, don't get me wrong. But I don't like him as much as I like John. I will not support the company.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah.
So. Yeah, because I picked up Lego Dimensions today because I had some trade-in stuff. I pretty well trade-in everything I have, so I pretty well won't be stepping foot in there. Pre-orders for me from now on, if I do them, they'll be digitally on my console.
Yep. There's a – trust me, guys. Listen, GameStop is not the only game in town. Believe me, you can go digital, you can go Amazon, or come see us at Gaming Grounds. We'll take care of you. We'll treat you right.
That's true.
We'll treat you like a human.
On that note, we'll see you guys next week with that follow-up episode, and then tomorrow we got Nerd Up, right?
Yeah.
How was Nerd Up?
That was fun. We talked a lot about The Taken King, and we talked about Marvel movies.
Who'd you have on?
It was me, Stephanie, CJ, and Steven, so a classic show.
Gotta listen to that one.
So, bitch.
I was being serious.
I always listen. I'm the only one who always listens.
Then I wasn't calling you a son of a bitch. I was calling Shannon a son of a bitch.
I laughed. I was thinking about something funny I heard on Herman's head.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Anyway, we'll see you guys on the next one. Thanks for listening. Don't pre-order games. Don't support GameStop. I said it. I fucking said it. We'll see you next time.
Peace and love.
Have a good one.